And there will be childcare for Friday night. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that. And Friday night, it could get a little ugly because we really need to dig in to what we talk about. Have Good Friday. We've got Palm Sunday. We've got Good Friday and Easter. And I worry sometimes that we get into that surface, almost theatric, and we miss the depth. And folks, I want you to understand why Jesus Christ came, why he offered himself as a sacrifice, what it means. I want you to understand how mentally, emotionally, and physically painful that was and what that means to you. And that will be online, okay? And I just think this is such an important, important time. You were created awesome. I'm going to keep saying that and saying that and saying that until Riverview believes it. Okay? You were created in the image of God Almighty. I keep saying that until you believe it. Okay? Because when you believe it, it brings you up out of your chair. Okay? I love the last verse of chapter 1 of Genesis. It says, everything else was good. You are very good. I get up in the morning in the mirror. You can ask my wife. Very good, baby. And I'm serious. Because, you see, I don't want to forget where I'm coming from. I don't want to forget how God Almighty created me in his almighty, wonderful, powerful image. I don't want to forget that. And I also don't want to forget what his cross and his salvation is all about. To restore me back to that. To restore me back to that. So very, very, very important. He created you awesome. He created you powerful. He created you holy. He created you to be somebody extraordinary. I worry that we've lost that in the church. I feel like what's happened in the church, and I see this among pastors too. We go and we're kind of there and you know, we're okay and I'm nice. And I don't kick the dog but once or twice a week. And so I'm good. Guys, don't miss it. You were created awesome. You were created beautiful. Even me. Okay? You were created to be somebody that's extraordinary and very good in this world. And guys, I'm going to keep pumping that and pumping that and pumping that because the church has lost it. People say, oh, well, what you ought to do is get up and give a little teaching lesson on theology. Boring. Go nowhere. Somebody shoot me. No, I'm serious. It goes nowhere. So many people, so many churches, you talk to them. I'm a Christian, but I'm dull. I'm a Christian, but I got nothing going. I'm a Christian, but I got every problem that everybody else has. I'm a Christian, I got no hope. Why would anybody want your Jesus? Amen? You know, why would anybody want that stuff? You were created awesome. But he knew that we were going to mess all that up. He knew. He knew we were going to take awesome and image and be sinfully stupid. I'll say it over here. Y'all missed it. He knew. He knew that we were going to take awesome and powerful and beautiful and be goofy. Amen. You know, you go to Genesis 3, and all of a sudden, there's Satan. He's talking to Eve. And there's Adam. sitting over there in the corner, watching television. You see all the women right now. They got this look. I hope he heard that. But I'm serious, guys. That fall was our fault. I'm waiting for one of the guys to say amen.
Amen.
We sat and watched. I hear men. Well, it's a woman's fault. Well, you idiot, pick up a hoe and kill that snake. Amen? You know, I know they're trying to destroy you men and say, all males are toxic and all that kind of stuff. No, no, no. We need men's men.
Yeah,
amen. Okay? And there is a difference between a man and a woman. And I can define it. Even though the intellectuals can't. Okay? That's foolishness. Godless foolishness. Okay? He sat over in the corner. She listened to him. They had this beautiful, later on in chapter 3 of Genesis, it talks about the fact that they walked in the cool of the day, hand in hand with God every day. Could you imagine that kind of relationship with God?
Amen.
It'd probably be like this, because he's bigger than us. You know? But the bottom line is, they walk with him, they talk with him, they pick fruit with him, they enjoyed him. Wow. But then they listened to evil. And we need to hear that. We need to understand that, guys. We need to understand that. You know, it wasn't that evil came in and said, you're going to do this. Evil came in and said, did God really say? He didn't come and say, you need to be evil, so everybody from now on. No, 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 no. He said, if. Too often, we're sitting there having a conversation with evil, and we're wondering why he's able to get his mitts and his hooks in our minds and our hearts. It's because we're listening. All of a sudden, instead of the walking with God hand in hand, all of a sudden, they're hiding in the bushes, isolated, in fear. Now, think about that. Think about those consequences. I don't know about you, but that's not what I want my life defined as. I want my life defined as walking with God hand in hand daily in the center of Him. Amen? So very, very important. But instead, they're hiding from God in the bushes, making fig leaves for themselves, okay? And blaming each other. Aren't you glad we never do that? Aren't you glad that we take personal responsibility for what goes on in our lives? Aren't you glad for that? Huh? Nobody wants to say amen. This has been something we've done. And it's just something, look at our politics. It's always the other guy's fault or gal's fault or side's fault or whatever. It's never my responsibility. Could you imagine if a politician actually took responsibility for something? We would have a national heart attack. But here's the thing you have to understand. God knew that was going to happen. You go on. Adam and Eve's son, one of the brothers killed his brother. You go on, and all of a sudden you realize that instead of being created in the image of God, now we're born in the image of our parents. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Amen? And then in chapter 6, he basically says, man is evil continually from their youth. Wow, Pastor, this is a real positive. This is a bummer. Why are you going there? Because that's the reality of what God knew was going to happen. He knew. He knew. He knew how Satan was going to come, and we were going to listen to him and take our eyes off of God and place them on that fruit. I have no idea what that fruit was. I'll go with crayon apple. I don't know. You know, I love experts. I love experts. Experts are all smarter than me, okay? Doesn't take much to be smarter than me. Here's the part that I find funny. All the experts argue. Chew on that one this afternoon, all right? I don't know what it was, but they took their eyes off him, placed it on that, ate it, and the consequences have been catastrophic, haven't they? Beauty is about gone. Love is nearly gone. Holiness is nearly gone. You know? I mean, what a mess. Every day, the Israelites, the Jews, God's chosen people change their mind. One day, I'm with you. The next day, they're like, no, I'm doing my own thing. The next day, I'm with you. The next day, I'm doing my own thing. I'm just so glad we don't do that trash anymore. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that we've grown? I love this word. When somebody wants to say something stupid, they say, I've evolved. Yeah, right. And I'm running for Pope next year if somebody would like to vote for me. All right? But before God, are you with me? Before God even created his world, he knew this was going to happen. Everything you've ever done wrong, he knew that was going to happen. Everything that has happened to you, he knew was going to happen. And before he created his world, his universe, he also created a plan to fix it. Fix me? Yeah, you. But you don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done. And praise God, you don't know what I've done. I don't want you to know what I've done. Anybody else with an amen there? Huh? Wouldn't you just be okay if nobody found out what you've done? Huh? But he knew. And before he even created the world, he said, I'm not going to sit up in heaven and fix this by fiat or declaration or just puff the magic dragon. I'm going to go fix it myself. I'm going to go. That's the bread for communion. I'm going to go down in the flesh. And I'm going to fix that mess myself. Amen. Let me stop right there and say something that I believe happens quite often. People feel like I'm so far gone, or I'm so bad, or I've done this, or I've done that. Well, that's not for me. Let me help you with something. Everybody here is that bad. I hear a lot of amens on that. But when it comes to us next to God, we're that bad. God's word says it this way, that my best good, my best righteousness, my best offering, my best sermon next to God is nothing but filthy rags. So ain't nobody sitting here, please hear me, nobody's sitting here going, I deserve this, because you don't. None of us do. I'm not bashing you. I'm just telling you the reality of our eternal predicament. Is everybody with me? Everybody with me? This is so important. He said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to step off my perfect throne in heaven. I'm going to be honest with you. I love y'all. But if and when I get there, there are some people that doubt. That was a joke. I ain't coming back. Amen? Now. Once I'm in, I'm in. All right? But God, in the form of his Son, stepped off his throne in heaven and came down through the heavenlies. Now, you would think that Creator God, King of the universe, would be born in royalty. You know, pretty little royal blankies, pretty little royal passies. He would probably have golden diapers. You know, he steps down out of heaven, comes down through the heavens, and is born in a stinking barn. Well, I can't relate to this Jesus thing. Why not? That's what all that's about. Well, you know, my family. Read Matthew 1. His family was nuts. No, I'm serious. Go home. Read the first 16 chapters, first 16 verses of chapter 1 of Matthew's. Matthew. I mean, Jesus' family, they were cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, man. I mean, they were, you name it. And they were it. All right? So don't think, oh, well, I come from a bad family. My family was dysfunctional. There ain't no such thing as a functional family. Amen. We live in a broken world. I keep asking for the functional family. Please to step forward. Had one neurotic. No, I'm just kidding. But no, there is no such thing as this wonderful family, this worthiness, or anything like that. You know, but he was born in a smelly, stinking barn. And from the moment this Messiah, this King, this Creator is born, they're out to get him. I mean, from the moment, man, they wanted to kill him. We walk around, oh, I just got too many problems. I got too many struggles. Stop it. You ain't got that. I mean, I got a lot of people don't like me. And that's okay, because I ain't in love with them either. All right? But I ain't got nothing like that. Every time you think I'm too far gone, you think I got too many problems to connect. There's too many things going on that I don't know what to do with and what not. I want you to think about that. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came down here and he had more problems than anybody else in the whole wide world. You with me? And say, I need to quit whining and I need to quit griping. Here's the cool part. He went through all of that. Are you with me? He went through all of that so you can know that no matter what happens in your life, no matter where you are, no matter what, he can connect with you, and he can love you, and he can heal you right where you are. Folks, I'm begging you. Let's get that message to a hopeless, lost, confused, crazy world. They're wondering, where's the hope? They're wondering, where's the help? They're wondering. They hear about all these religions and all this stuff, and they're like, You don't have to judge them. It ain't about you telling them how bad they are. That doesn't make you any more holy. Because God can turn right around and explain to you what you need. But you know what you can do? When your friend looks at you and says, I don't know what to do. You just look at them and say, listen, neither do I. But I know who does know what to do. Not only does he know what to do, he knows how to do it. Amen? Amen? Any of y'all ever been in a position in your life or a time in your life and you're like, I have no clue how I'm going to get over this one, how I'm going to get out of this one? Anybody? I mean, God? There have been times I look at God and I'm not even sure how you're going to do this. You know? Man, I have made such a mess here. I'm not sure what we're going to do. But with man, all things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but he has gotten me out of some fixes. He has gotten me out of some messes. He has gotten me out of some things that I was like, oh, my stinking goodness. And he has helped me because I'm a volatile person. I'm a fighter. That's just who I am. And there have been people along the way that I would just as soon punch them in the head as hug them. Are you listening? And he's helped me. And he's helped me to love them. Some he has to pour a little more love in than others. But that's just where we are. But God had a plan. And what we celebrate this morning is the beginning or the initiation of that plan. And you want to come Friday night to hear about the real depth of the plan. But the plan begins by Almighty, Holy, Creator God riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. You'd think they could at least find a dude a white horse, you know what I'm saying? Something really cool. But go back a few, go back about 30, 31 years. How did his mama get to the barn? On a donkey. And here is God Almighty initiating this great plan of salvation. He told him he was going to do it, and nobody believed. Aren't you so glad that when we read the Word of God, we totally, absolutely understand and agree and believe? Aren't you so glad? Please don't say amen. He told him and told him and told him. And he told him again. And here he comes, riding into Jerusalem just like he told him, on a baby donkey. I started thinking about that this week and I went, I wonder what that's all about. Because I don't know about you, but I can't put all of this salvation plan all together. I'm not an expert. I think I know pieces, but some of the real depth. Anybody here too, just, man, this stuff's deep. This stuff's tough. This stuff is kind of beyond my mental capacity. And sometimes, you ever try to step up and try to make something happen? Roar, baby. I'm going to make this happen. You know, hear me roar. Usually I mess that all up. Anybody here ever tried that? But here comes Almighty, Creator, Holy God. On the back of a donkey. And what he's saying is, I got you. I got you. I know where you've been. I know where you are. I know where you're going to be. But I'm here to do for you what you could never begin to do for yourself. I'm here to love on you and save you and heal you and bless you and lift you and take you in my glorious eternal arms and see you through like nobody else. And you can't do it either. But here I am. And I'm coming in humble. That's hard for me. Because I don't know about you, but I got an ego. Anybody else? I got pride, man. Anybody know donkey? And God says, that's why you're a goofball. Because you know what you need to do, John? You need to understand you have and you are no hope. But by my grace, by my love, by my healing, by my salvation, by what I'm coming into Jerusalem to do today, you can be saved. You can have hope. You can be loved. You can be healed. You can be set free. You can do anything and everything I created you to do, and you can be the man or woman I created you to be by me. Amen. And here's the coolest part of that. I'm doing this because I want you to understand. I'm not just doing this for you. I'm doing this so that you can take this and you can take this love and you can take this hope and you can take this salvation and you can take this healing to every person in your world. Palm Sunday's cute. We all get palms. We used to get the ones that were longer, but we knew, guys, I've already got that done. We knew that everybody was too lazy to make a cross. And if you're like me, I couldn't do it even with the directions. So it's okay. But Palm Sunday isn't just a cute little happening. Palm Sunday is the initiation of my and your and every person in our world, our great salvation. Man, this week, he will suffer and he will struggle and he will bleed and he will die so that I don't have to. And I'm good with that because I'm a man and we men are sissies. And all God's ladies said, amen. We are, you know. And this week, if Isaiah 53, and we'll hit this on Friday night, says that he suffered in such a way that it absolutely takes away and heals my sin and heals my mind and heals my heart and heals my body and heals my soul. Amen? Amen. And this is for you. Even you that have been beaten and broken so bad, you feel like you have no hope. Are you with me? That's what this week is all about. Today, we'll take communion. You guys want to? And the kids can come up.
pastors on this thing.
I know. I want you to celebrate this week. I want you to celebrate. I want you to put this somewhere where you go, yeah. This is my week. This is my week. This is where he initiates that awesome eternal plan he had to make sure that he does for me and in me and through me what I could never begin to do myself.
Amen.
He's going to save me. He's going to save me from whatever mess I gotten myself into. He's going to save me from wherever I hurt. He's going to save me no matter what's going on in my life. He's going to save me no matter what's happening. He's going to save me whatever my proclivities or orientations are. He's going to save me and care for me. Because thousands of years ago, he created a plan. And he looked at all of us and said, listen, I got you. When I say that, you're supposed to smile. I got you.
Amen.
I got it. No matter. I got it. This morning, the kids are going to sing. And you're welcome to come. Over here, it says on top, gluten-free. That's something new. Because us old people didn't even know what gluten was. The juice represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Just take one of the breads, wafers, thingies. I'm so smooth, you know what I'm saying? But don't eat it. We'll eat it together. But I want you to think two things while we're holding this. Just go back and sit down. Is this person who came down through the heavens to live, die, and rise again for me, does he live in the center of me? Has he come in to save me? Has he come in to take over my life? Has he come in to set me free and heal me of whatever? And has he covered me so that every sin and every goofy thing I've ever done is covered by his eternal blood that he shed on Calvary's cross? Amen?
Amen.
As they're singing, just come to the center, get your things, go back to your seat, sit down, wait for me. We'll partake together.